Well, it's a pleasure to have Danny Rechtenwald here with us. You might remember Danny was here last week as part of the Sweaty Already String Band, versatile as he is. Last week he was playing guitar. He also plays mandolin and probably many other instruments. But today it's classical guitar, and he has several selections, including his own compositions as well as his own arrangements of music written by others. We'll open up with a piece and then chat for a little bit.
Sure.
And what do you want to open up with?
So this is a song from Sesame Street called I Don't Want to Live on the Moon.
How beautiful. That's Danny Rechtenwald. How did you find classical guitar as your instrument?
So I grew up in the church here at a Baptist church in Brookline, and I went on this church camp. I was a 12-year-old kid, went to this church camp, and my older brothers, I knew they had played the guitar, and they offered this guitar class at this church camp. So I went to the class, and actually it turns out that they couldn't get enough guitars, so they were ukuleles. So I took like this ukulele class and learned some chords, and they told me that it's just like a guitar. You just have to just add two strings on the bottom when you get a guitar. So I took this ukulele class, and then I went home and told my mom about it, and she had played the guitar for like her prayer meetings and church gatherings and things like that. So she actually started teaching me some chords on her nylon string folk guitar, is kind of how she talked about it. And then I started learning chords. My brother started showing me some songs, like rock and roll songs. But there was a fellow in the church who played guitar every Sunday. He was from Venezuela. Daniel Marchand was his name. So he... we asked him if he could give me lessons, and I showed up with this nylon string guitar, not knowing I didn't even know that there was a difference between nylon or steel strings. So he just started teaching me classical guitar because he thought I wanted to learn classical guitar.
Based on you show yeah. up with a classical
right.
guitar.
Exactly. So, and from there, it turns out I sort of had a knack for it or whatever, the coordination for it, and I kind of fell in love with it that way.
So you would have been 13 or mm-hmm. so when you started. Exactly. And it's amazing how accidental things right. like that yeah. happen, right? Had it not been uh-huh. for the church camp
yeah.
And your mom having that right. instrument yeah. as well. Is that church camp still done, do you know?
I don't even know. It's called Centrifuge. I don't even know. It was like this, I think, Southern Baptist church camp or something like
yeah.
that.
It was and not it, in the Pittsburgh area.
It was in, it like traveled around. Like it was in like Philadelphia the year I went. Then I think I went the year after somewhere else. So it travels to like different college campuses, I think is really where it was. But I don't know where it went. But yeah, it's funny how it makes you think, you know, like I chose guitar, but really it's almost like it chose me. I just kind of, it found me or something like that.
Yeah, so. And, you know, life happens when you're making other plans,
right,
as
yeah.
I think John uh-huh. Lennon, that's attributed to him. But it's really true the way it works. Now, I'm fascinated, and I think others will be too. I'll put a picture of uh-huh. you up on our Facebook page shortly. But a classical guitar is different uh-huh. than the guitar most people are used to
right,
seeing.
Right.
Can you point out what some of the differences are?
So some of the differences, first of all, the body is a little bit thinner. So like an acoustic guitar will have a bigger, like lower bout.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit thinner. And then it also doesn't have this thing called a pick guard on there. Like there's usually this piece of black plastic that's taped to the top of the guitar
right,
so that your
so
pick.
If you're playing really hard, uh-huh. that protects the guitar.
Exactly, yeah. So there's that, but then, and I'm sure there's a lot of different structural things too on the inside, like the bracing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the main difference is the nylon mm-hmm. strings. So, and the guitar is made to project nylon strings through the bracing and things like that. So, and the steel string is made, so it's made to be louder. I mean, ultimately the end goal for every guitar maker is to make it as loud as possible, but also as beautiful sounding as possible.
Yeah.
So.
I remember, my brother David is a professional guitarist
yeah,
and
yeah.
classical is, I don't know if I'd say it's his primary uh-huh. genre. He plays... Wherever the check is.
Yeah, sure.
But he told me the first, he heard Andre Segovia once,
oh, wow,
years ago, and he was in a hall, I believe on Amplified.
Yeah.
And from the very first note, it was clear that something special
yeah.
was happening.
Right.
It was
absolutely,
the instrument,
yeah.
As well as, of course, the person playing it.
Mm-hmm.
But the design of that instrument,
yeah.
Was exquisite,
right.
And I know David has a number of really special classical
mm-hmm.
guitars.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost, I guess, like they say with the Stradivarius, there are some guitars that
yeah.
are just incredible.
Absolutely, yeah. And this is my guitar in particular. He's one of the top like three makers in the world. His name is Andrea Tacchi. He's from Italy, and he's doing this. So most classical guitars have just either spruce or cedar as the top of
mm-hmm.
the guitar. And they say that cedar is louder but less expressive. Spruce is quieter but more expressive. Like there's more tone colors you can get. So makers recently have started sandwiching spruce and cedar to get the best of both worlds. But this guy, Andrea Tacchi, he has, you know, butted them up against each other.
Yeah.
So that's why you have this neat. So the cedar is the darker one and the spruce is the lighter one.
Yeah, his guitar, it just to visualize it, the neck goes through the cedar,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a stripe of cedar
right.
going
yeah.
down the middle with spruce on either side.
Yeah.
I didn't really think about that. It would have different densities.
Uh-huh.
And very cool.
Mm-hmm.
The fretboard's the same, or is it a little longer?
So it is a little bit longer. Like I think the frets are a little bit bigger, and the fingerboard is like a little bit wider too than most steel strings. And we usually have 19 frets, whereas a steel string may have 21 or so. They may have a couple more frets, or 22. I think it goes up to like a D. So I happen to have high C, which is a 18th fret, which is a Yeah, like most guitars only have this 17th fret, but makers are now adding one more. And there's even some that add, yeah, two or three more.
It's like an arms race.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Just keep adding it.
Just keep doing it.
And Danny Rechtenwald is here sharing classical guitar with us. There's more I want to ask you, but
sure.
I'm sure we should hear another song first. I'll let you tune up if you need to.
So this is a song. I'll try and talk while I tune. This is a song that I wrote that's called Miracle. And it's really just, as an artist, you know, you just kind of, certain times you just get, you know, blown away by how much of a miracle tiny little things are, you know. And I was just realizing what a sort of miracle it is to just exist at all, or to be alive, or to, and then also to be able to enjoy things and like music or flowers and rainbows and things like that. So it's like, you know, so I just was kind of overcome with that feeling. So I wrote a song about it. And I have to detune my
I was going to say, you're dropping down
drop
a little
D,
bit.
Yeah, that's a common tuning thing.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. A song called Miracle, Danny Recktenwald. That sounds like it could be in a movie soundtrack.
Really?
And I'm curious if you thought about placing music in that
way. Yeah, actually I have. And even for that one in particular, I, because I've had the same thought, meaning like, what would it sound like if I tried to, place this music in some sort of scene or something like that. So I was trying to really, make some sort of earnest sort of emotions through the soft moments of the piece. So I have thought about it. And this record will be out on the Misra record label. It's like a local, but they're also national and worldwide. But
this will be a classical guitar.
Yeah, just solo guitar. That's on great. This record label. Yeah, so it's really neat. And they have, they're going to try to, get some licensing things. They'll have a licensing person that's going to try to place it in or do some sort of, fishing for advertising or for placement or something like that.
And it's probably good to have a firm that mm-hmm. does that and does. Yeah. I mean, just from our own tiny perspective, we're often looking for music to look in radio features or documentaries.
Have mine, all you and, want.
Well, there's gaming and all sorts of other applications. Yeah. And that song, it's just very evocative mm-hmm. and you can almost picture maybe a dad and a 5-year-old girl mm-hmm. trying to fly a kite and having it, they begin, they're looking at birds and watching them fly. They're looking at planes and watching them fly. Yeah. And then they start to look at this kite. I mean, there's so many things you can think about.
Sure.
And that's one of the nice things about listening to music mm-hmm. Like this mm-hmm. too. Did you listen to many classical guitarists as you were developing your style?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I got, at a certain point, got obsessed with listening to guitarists. And so early on, I came across this guitarist, John Williams, who's different than the Star Wars composer.
Yeah, the other John Williams.
John Williams, Manuel Barueco, who he teaches, he's in Baltimore. He teaches at the Peabody Conservatory. And David Russell, and then also I actually got to study with one of my favorite guitarists, Jason Vio, who recently he won a Grammy just a couple of years ago for solo guitar. It was kind of hard, as a kid, I was more interested in the technical aspect. Like I wanted to play everything, but the guitarists that were really, really something and really appealing to me later in life were the ones that can really, connect to you emotionally. They're not just playing notes. It's like the emotional content of the music that they're getting across, and I feel like especially guitar is very, classical guitar, it's very moving, or it can be if it's done well, So I really was attracted to that part about it.
Yeah, you have a whole orchestra in your hands when you're playing, uh-huh. and it is such an expressive instrument.
Right.
And are you playing out much?
Yeah, actually last night I had a gig at Full Pint. So, and then the week before, it's funny, I don't have anything on the books right now.
It's probably it's probably either feast or famine.
Right, exactly.
A lot of them, I suspect, are private, at least going from my brother's experience, is you'll be invited. If you're lucky, you'll be invited to play at a fancy party, or sometimes, unfortunately, you end up becoming audio wallpaper.
Sure, that's how it
guests.
Goes. Yeah.
But a lot of folks really like having a classical guitarist.
Yeah. It's usually like weddings or parties and things like that. But when I play out now, because I do play a lot of solo gigs, I guess my next one really would be the CD release, like December 7th or 8th, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. But when I play out, I worry that if I just play the guitar, you kind of lose people's interest, just solo guitar, unless they're there for the concert. So I play and I sing some folk songs and some love songs that I wrote to kind of keep people entertained.
Yeah,
that way. So I want to mix it up.
You want to be able to connect and not just be the technician playing. Mm-hmm. Danny Rechtenwald is here. You can find him on Facebook. We just put a picture of him up. And what would you like to play next?
I think I'll play Rainbow Connection.
Ah. You'll recognize this song, I think. Song was written by Paul Williams and Kenneth Asher. I was curious about who wrote that, and first appeared in the Muppets movie in 1979. It sounds like it could be an old song.
It's amazing.
Craig in Macon, Georgia is listening. He thought of Cool Hand Luke when he was listening
to
Miracle.
Really?
Yeah, not when he was listening to the Rainbow Connection, but I missed his message earlier, and also noted how much he's enjoying listening to you this morning. Let me make sure I didn't. Snuffy Walden, he mentioned, as somebody who came to mind as he was listening to you play.
I don't think I know Snuffy.
Oh, yeah. He's. I'll find some for you. We should have some somewhere, but another great guitarist. It's amazing how different artists can take ownership of the instrument and do different things.
Yeah. That's my favorite thing about it is like I've recently just sort of gained some confidence in finding my own style or like, you know, however I write instead of constantly, you know, trying to be like somebody else or something like that, or I'm not good enough or I'm, you know, but it's like, just like, you know, it's just everybody is different and everybody's going to have their own, just the way nobody's voice sounds exactly like mine. Although my brother's sounds very similar, but you know, your own version of language that you use. And then, you know, your own expression kind of is what gives you, you know, what makes you sound like you.
Yeah. And it's hard because, first developing the self-knowledge of knowing what that is, and also the confidence of presenting yourself, but then connecting with an audience, and you have to have a lot of faith that the audience will connect with your honest self. But there are so many, you know, we've all met people who are trying to be somebody other than who they are. And generally speaking, unless you're, I think even as an actor, you are still bringing your particular style of acting to the role. But it's not pretty easy to sustain being somebody different than who you are.
Yeah, and it's much more attractive when you're yourself, you know, unapologetically, I think. And I think, you know, and the world needs it too.
Oh, more more than ever now. We're philosophizing here with Danny Rechtenwald. He's got a CD forthcoming on the Misra label that will be out the first week of December. You can also hear him with the Sweaty Already String Band. Have you got some other bands playing in?
Yeah, I play in the Bearded Irishman, right?
yes, the Triple
so,
B.
yeah.
After last week's show, the great, let's see, it's Paul Dvorak.
Yeah, that's right.
And you, and I'm missing.
There's Jim Smrecki and Sean Paul Williams, and then Dan Stoker and Ryan Warmbrot. There's a lot of us in there.
After you guys, I think, did or do Come On Eileen.
No,
I'm thinking you do Take On Me.
Yes, by, we do Take On Me. That's right.
Because when I was trying to settle down after last week, I decided to find you guys doing Take On Me
by
I found a live recording with Bob Banerjee. That tickled me. I watched that about 10 times. And there's a number of really neat bluegrass versions that other bands have done. And there were a few Come On Eileens from bluegrass groups, too. You can get lost in the tube of you or the tube of them.
Right, yeah. The tube of them. I like that.
So you can look look for Danny with those groups. What would you like to do next?
I'll play. So I wrote a song.
We should check. We have time. It's up to you, but we certainly have time for two or three more. But I also don't want to worry you out here.
I think probably two more.
That's just fine.
Yeah, okay. So this is a song that I wrote. It's called Meditations on Heartache. And I basically wrote it after a sort of relationship didn't go as I wished it went, you know? It's kind of ended before I wanted it to. Which, obviously, it happens. That's life, you know? That's just how it goes. But also, it kind of, you know, gave birth to a beautiful piece of music, I think. So, Meditations on Heartache. Make sure I'm in tune here.
I would imagine nylon strings loose tuning because they're so slippery.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, it's really so. Just the change in temperature from, you know, backstage or green, whatever that room,
our green
office,
room.
Yeah,
but the room you perform in is green.
Yeah, that's
but,
right. And then even changes in humidity, and then being in here, like, you know, the air going on and off, it messes with the strings. Like,
we could turn that off.
It's crazy. So, but it just happens. You could blow on the strings and they'll go out of tune. It's really it's kind of crazy. So Meditations. And actually, and it's kind of weird. So not many guitarists do this, but even playing in different keys, like the key of E, I should tune my guitar a little bit differently than I'm playing in the key of G or the key of C. So it's not always the same. So it's really a strange thing about, like, a guitar is never perfectly in tune, you know? Maybe just for one chord, but as soon as you switch, then something is.
You must have really good ears.
Right?
Are you able to hear that?
I can hear. But maybe I should just play.
Oh, no, you take your time. You're fine.
All right.
I admire you for playing that song because it must take you back to those specific moments as you were writing it. And it's a beautiful song that hopefully gives comfort to other people as they listen. Danny Rechtenwald is who you're listening to, and we've placed him on our Facebook page with a picture and a link to his page. I know your music is readily available, right? People, if you just Google him, you'll probably
find some videos. There's some things on Bandcamp as well, if you look on there. And then everything will be available December 7th.
That's
so
the date.
You kind of have to keep some things to yourself before you release everything into the world of the internet, so to get people excited about it.
That's good. And do you know where the release party will be?
Not yet. No, I actually don't know. I'm thinking about there's this new church, or there's this church in Millvale that the people at Mr. Smalls bought. So I'm gonna check that out. Maybe see that. It's not open yet. So I might just have it. I might just have it in, you know, some interesting space somewhere.
And make sure there's heat.
Heat. That's you know what? That is important. That's an important thing.
In December. You could look at a venue now and it would seem just fine.
Right. That's true. You're right. And then I want to make, so I want it to be, so this is it sort of started as an album. My sister-in-law, she said, hey, she teaches yoga. And she was like, hey, you should make an album for yoga for me to play during my yoga classes. And I was like, that's a really great idea. I should do that. So it kind of, that sparked my interest in doing this album, but then it just turned into this meditative sort of album. So it's going to be called Samadhi, which is like a meditative state of intense focus and awareness. So, and that's kind of the whole entire feel sort of the album.
I think will be welcomed by a lot of people to be able to hear it. Thank you for being here.
Sure. Thank you, Larry.
Today. This is pretty much our last chance to talk on the radio.
Okay,
is there anything else you wanted to mention that I may have neglected to ask?
I think that's it. No, I think, this is the album. Look out for the album December 7th. So it'll be out digitally December 7th, and then I'll have a party either that night or the 8th or somewhere around
Excellent.
There.
You're a good planner.
So, I'm not. I mean, these things force me to be on top of
it. Well, that's right. If you say it, then it has to come true.
Exactly.
So what do you want to finish
up
with?
So this is actually the final track on my album. It's called Road Song. And it's not as meditative. It's more fun. I wrote this after, in a van ride back from canoeing in the Everglades for a week. And I was just, it's kind of a...
Wow.
Yeah,
I can't imagine canoeing in the Everglades.
Right. It was amazing. It was really cool. So it was a great experience, and then just kind of seeing the roads of America, driving through the South back, so that's kind of where the inspiration for this came from. And I'll have to tune a little more, because this is in... I've detuned three of my strings now.
That could be a plan, too, as you move along.
Uh-huh. I hope your listeners like to...
Oh, tuning is important.
Tuning,
tuning matters.
Right, yeah.
What's funny, too, is I think for a lot of people, you don't necessarily know if an instrument is in tune to a lot of people listening to music, but you sure do know if it's out of tune.
It's out of tune. That's exactly right, yeah.
There's many, many ways to be out of tune, but only one way to be in tune.
That's right. So here's Road Song.
Thank you. Danny Recktenwald with the new album